Hey, we're back. Are we just gonna do it, man? This was gonna be a test recording to make sure everything's okay, and I might as well just hold on. All right, I mean I listened back to it and it sounds okay, and I think we're just gonna start, man. We're just gonna start. How's that? Oscar guy here. How's it going, y'all? Welcome to episode 4. Of the Oscar Guy Here podcast. I took off a week. Last week I took off. I didn't have an episode come out last week because I've been quite busy with life. I was out of town for a little bit. The weekend before, I had a lot of company in town, and then I've just been zipping around everywhere, and I haven't really had time to sit down to do much of anything lately until now. Until pretty much yesterday. So I have a lot to talk about. A lot of things have happened, and I got a big old list of things. Let me tell you, a whole big old list of things right in front of me. So, I guess before I start talking about stuff, I want to let you guys know that I have a website. It's OscarGuyHere.com. I may have talked about it already, but I'm not sure. Maybe in my first episode. I don't know. OscarGuyHere.com. Go check it out. It's a website that I built from scratch because I am a web developer after all. I've made some updates to it. I have refreshed some of my reviews on my homepage. I've added a videos page where you can watch some featured videos that I have showcased on that landing page. As well as a page for my podcasts. Whenever I upload a podcast, the latest 3 podcasts will always be published on that page, oscarguyhere.com/podcast, I think is what it's called. It's either /podcast or /podcasts. I'm going to confirm that right now. /podcast. That's it. And it's got links to Spotify and Amazon Music and my YouTube channel, and you can copy the RSS feed if you so desire, or you could just listen to my podcasts right on that webpage. Go check out OscarGuyHere.com. I've been working hard at it, and I am going to start using that website as my source of truth for my predictions as well. I am planning on building out a predictions landing page so you can see all of my updated Oscar predictions all year round, instead of having to do Google Sheets, which I've been doing Google Sheets and spreadsheets for the past 2 years. The past 2 seasons, I've been using doctored up Google Sheets, and I think it's time to move on from that because it's not everybody's cup of tea. I mean, you look at my prediction videos and you see Google Sheets, and that kind of turns people off. It's not very fun to look at, not very easy to look at. I understand. It makes sense to me, but it doesn't make any sense to, you know what I mean. But I'm working on the predictions landing page, and it looks pretty good so far. So next predictions video, or next series of predictions videos, I will be showcasing that and going through all my predictions that way instead of going into a spreadsheet. So, and that, by the way, is coming very soon. I would say next week. I'm going to shoot for next week. Next week, I am going to have my first round of predictions videos for the season live up. My predictions, I know you guys haven't seen my predictions from August because I never published them. But man, how things have changed since August. I'm going to be making some crazy revisions. Let me tell you what. Insane. So anyway, go check out my website.
That's it, man. So I guess a couple of things that have happened. We'll just go ahead and talk about some things here. Life of Chuck, dead. Life of Chuck, dead, dude. Remember last episode when Life of Chuck won TIFF and I was like, oh, got to start predicting that for Best Picture? Guess what? It took a while for it to find a distributor, and it finally did find a distributor, ladies and gentlemen. I think Searchlight that has it? Neon. No, yeah, it was picked up by Neon, out of all people. Neon, the distributor responsible for pretty much snagging every Palme d'Or winner from the past 5 years. Neon has a lot of films this year, I believe. I mean, they got what? They got, I mean, they got Anora, right? So, yeah, Neon films. They got, let's see. I just want to be sure here. So, they have Long Legs. Interesting. Cuckoo. Oh, upcoming. Here we go. Anora. They have Seed of the Sacred Fig as well. They have The End, which that's kind of dead in the water, honestly. They have the new Steven Soderbergh film, Presence, which is coming out next year. And then The Monkey, which is a supernatural horror film from Oz Perkins, who did Long Legs. So Anora and Seed of the Sacred Fig is what are the two big boys awards players that they have this year. But they acquired Life of Chuck. But here's the kicker. They announced that it will be released in the summer of 2025, which is long, not too long, but pretty much after the Oscars next year. So it's not in this award season. Life of Chuck will be an awards player next season. And that is rare. I think the last time that a TIFF winner got, so I think it's the first time since 2006 that a film won TIFF and then was released the following year. I forget which film it was, but it's been almost 20 years since that has happened. So it's a rarity that this has happened, but it was just kind of, no one really wanted to buy it for whatever reason, despite of how much of a success at TIFF it was. But Neon picked it up, and it's being released in the summer. So I would like you guys all to say goodbye to Chuck. I'm waving goodbye with my hand right now, and I'm expecting you to do the same. Goodbye, Chuck. So long. Farewell. We'll see you next award season. Bad. Sound of Music joke. So yeah, Life of Chuck dead. How's that? No more wrenches being... That wrench was thrown into the machine. The dun-dun-dun-na-na-na-na of the award season. And it went right through it and then out again. And then the machine picked up steam again. And now everything's okay. For now. So Life of Chuck dead for this award season, but you'll be hearing from Chuck again next year. So goodbye, Chuck. We'll see you soon. Have a good one. The two runners up from TIFF, Emilia Perez and Anora. I mean, we already knew that those two were going to be big Oscar players. That's been cleared up for us. That's been cleared up for us. I do want to still see Life of Chuck. It sounds interesting. It's like a feel-good science fiction comedy drama film that is told in reverse and is actually based on a Stephen King novella, which I wasn't aware of for a while. And, oh, wow, it's narrated by Nick Offerman. Interesting. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. It'll be a while until I see it, but I'm looking forward to checking it out. Seems like something that people are into. It's got heart. But, yeah, that was a pretty big piece of news. Let's see. Next... on the list, India screwed up again. How, I mean, what, you know, after RRR, they didn't submit RRR, they submitted something else, and of course, that was a big mistake. They did it again with All We Imagine Is Light. All We Imagine Is Light is a film from India that went gangbusters at the Cannes Film Festival. It won the Grand Prix there, and I've heard nothing but amazing things about it. But of course, India selected another film that they felt was more geared towards like, I guess what they think is Indian cinema, like to represent India as a country. They chose a film called Lapata Ladies, which I don't really know anything about. But from my research, they deemed All We Imagine As Light. So first of all, the whole international feature submission process for the Oscars is kind of flawed, to say the least. It's really weird because every country that submits their films for the award for Best International Feature, they have to pick one movie from their entire country to submit to the Oscars. And then they, of course, a plane is flying by as I'm recording my podcast. Say hello to the plane outside, ladies and gentlemen. I'm working on my sound equipment, all right? What was I even saying? I mean, you know, it's 7:13 p.m. Why is there a plane? You know what I mean? Countries need to submit one film for international feature. What is that? A squeaky tire now? What are we doing? We're keeping it raw. We're not cutting this, bro. Y'all get planes, y'all get squeaky tires outside. For the love of God, if my neighbor fucking revs up his dirt bike and scares the absolute living dick shit piss out of me. Sorry, Mom and Dad. That'll be the day. That'll be the day. I mean, I have a neighbor that has a dirt bike that starts up not like, it's like beer. Sorry, I might have to edit that. It is insane. But anyway, I digress. What was I talking about? International feature films. Every country that submits for international feature, they have to pick one movie from their entire country to represent them at the Academy Awards. One film. And then the Oscars, the Academy, they shortlist. They take all those films and they come up with a shortlist of films that may be nominated. I don't know if there's a fixed amount of films that they shortlist. I want to say it's between 10 and 15 films. So then there's the shortlist, and then after that, they select from that shortlist 5 films that are eventually nominated for Best International Feature. That's not the messed up part. Like, that part kind of makes sense. The way that they're submitted and the nature of the award itself is problematic because, number one, the International Feature Oscar, if somebody wins the International Feature Oscar, it doesn't go to the film, it doesn't go to the director per se, it is awarded to the country itself, if that makes any sense. Like last year, The Zone of Interest was a submission from the United Kingdom. That award was given to the United Kingdom. I want to say that's factual. Maybe it goes to the director, maybe Jonathan Glazer, that he's technically the recipient, but I want to say, like, it goes to the country itself. So, really, that goes into my second point. Number two, countries want to submit films that represent their country, you know? So, in turn, it gets geopolitical. Things get hairy. It's not really about art anymore, honestly. It's about what film represents, the country's aesthetic and the country's culture and whatever they align with, right? All We Imagine Is Light, the film that was not submitted, doesn't really align with the cultural and, I guess, political views of the Indian Film Federation. They don't think it represents, it's a little, I don't really know what the nature of it is politically, the film, but it's just not something that I guess the Federation was comfortable with submitting, which is very unfortunate. They picked the safe option. They picked, you know, a movie that represents Indian cinema. And they even said, like, I have it here from this article from The Wrap. They deemed it as, All We Imagine Is Light as, quote, like a foreign film and not like Indian cinema, unquote, by the Film Federation of India, which is like, okay. I don't know. And here it says Lapata Ladies is the latest in the long line of curious submissions by India's Oscar selection committee, which raised eyebrows with a statement that began, quote, Indian women are a strange mixture of submission and dominance. Excuse me? Interesting. Yeah, so I get very weird. Very weird. So I don't know, man. In my opinion, something's got to give. I think something needs to change with the international feature category, where either the winner of the award goes to the filmmakers or the film, like the producers or something like that, instead of the country itself. Like, who cares if a film from a country doesn't align with the current powers that be in the country's political landscape or not? It's a film. It's a movie. It should be about merit, you know? If the best movie from that country is submitted, I mean, justice, that's justice right there, you know? I don't know. I feel like that is something that the Oscars can maybe work on, that whole process. Sure, it provides some smaller filmmakers and lesser known filmmakers to have better shots at getting nominated for an Oscar or even winning one. Or it could be the inverse as well. I don't know. So India messed up again. I mean, I don't want to say India, but the Indian Film Federation messed up again. And we're not going to be seeing All We Imagine Is Light in the awards conversation, unless it's campaigned anyway, like RRR. But I mean, RRR was RRR. I mean, that was only nominated for Best Original Song and won. And that was their moment. But All We Imagine Is Light could show up in the precursors. It could watch it win, like, most of the foreign language film or international feature precursors at, like, Golden Globes and Critics' Choice and stuff like that. And then it just misses on Oscar nominations in the morning, which it will. So that's going to be an interesting development, for sure. So, but shout out to Lapata Ladies and the director for getting submitted. Whether or not that's going to be even shortlisted or not, I don't know yet. So yeah, that happened. Let me just, while we're at it, let's just go through the list of Oscar International Feature entries so far. We got, let's see, Brazil, I'm Still Here. I've been hearing great things about that. I think that might get shortlisted, if not nominated. The director, Walter Salles, actually has been nominated for several Oscars for his last two films, The Motorcycle Diaries and Central Station. That and the daughter of Fernanda Montenegro, who is a Brazilian actress who was nominated for Best Actress. The daughter of her is the lead role in I'm Still Here. So that is a good narrative as well. So I'm keeping an eye on I'm Still Here for sure. Canada's submission, Universal Language, I've also heard great things about. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. Denmark, The Girl with the Needle, I've heard great things about. It was a kind of a hit at the Cannes Film Festival this year. Denmark has been killing it. From the same article I mentioned, it says Denmark has won twice. It has been nominated 7 times and has been shortlisted 11 times in the last 14 years. Very impressive. So they got a great track record. So Girl with the Needle could slip in. Not sure. Maybe it'll get shortlisted. What else? Let's see here. Oh yeah, Seed of the Sacred Fig, of course, was submitted by Germany. And that is probably one of the front runners for international. That and Emilia Perez, which is which was submitted by France. Let's see what else. Kneecap from Ireland, I heard great things about. That was submitted. Japan submitted Cloud, the new Kurosawa Kiyoshi film. I hear it's pretty good. More of like a thriller, action thriller maybe. That was submitted instead of Evil Does Not Exist, which I have mixed feelings about. I know that film came out technically last year, so and then last year, of course, was the year of Perfect Days. But I really wish Evil Does Not Exist was submitted, because I love that film so much. One of my favorite films of the year so far. But anyway, Cloud. We got Cloud. Latvia submitted Flow, which is that animated cat film that I talked about in my last video, I think. Heard great things about that. Let's see. Yeah. Let's just scroll in. Portugal submitted Grand Tour, which won Best Director at Cannes. Dahomey by Matty Diop was submitted but from Senegal. Cool. Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll leave it there. We will leave it there. Yeah. So yeah, international feature. That's what's been going on lately. I still think Emilia Perez is probably the front runner for that award right now. Either that or Seed of the Sacred Fig. We could see a surprise once the season really kicks into high gear, once the precursors happen, but we shall see. So yeah. One other piece of news that dropped by way of A24 is that The Brutalist is... So we got good news and bad news. And the bad news is mostly for people who... Okay, we'll just say it. Okay, so the good news is The Brutalist is coming out this year. Good on you. Good on you, A24, for pushing it out for this award season. Hell yeah. It is coming out on December 20th. I cannot wait. The bad news is it is only being played in select theaters. A24 does not have a great track record in terms of getting asses in seats. Not really that, but like... They're a great production company, wonderful production company. They've been killing it in, you know, these past years, especially with the Oscars, with Everything Everywhere and with The Whale and with, there's so many, with Past Lives, you know. So, brain fart, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. A24 is not a great distributor when it comes to like putting their film out there in theaters. Like, so I'm afraid that The Brutalist is like just not, it's either not going to make a lot of money or not a lot of people are going to be seeing it, or because people can't see it because it's only, like, what does that even mean? Only select theaters. How selective are we talking about here, A24? Are we talking like only like New York and LA and like maybe Chicago and Toronto and that's it? Or every major city? Or maybe like art house theaters? Like, how is this just distribution plan going to be rolling out? Because that's kind of pivotal how they're going to push this thing, because only select theaters is doing me a little concern here. I mean, I'm lucky that I live in a major city, that, you know, most of the time, you know, the Philadelphia Film Society does pretty good with getting, these films that only come out in select theaters. Usually, I would say 8 times out of 10, so, I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see how this distribution plan is going to go. So, yeah, that was a little concerning. But we're getting it. At least we're getting it. At least it's going to show up. Again, it's the most critically acclaimed film of the year so far. It's being declared a masterpiece. I cannot wait to see it. It's probably my most anticipated of the year. I will definitely be going out of my way to watch it. So we'll see how selective this distribution is. But yeah. That is The Brutalist. That is a brutal distribution plan, man. Stop. Stop with the dad jokes there, Chip. Daniel Day-Lewis is back, by the way. Daniel Day-Lewis is officially ending his retirement from acting after 7 years, since his performance in Phantom Thread. Is it official or was it unofficial? Because he's basically... Oh, he's the lead. Okay, so I'm reading this discussion film tweet here. He is the lead in his son's directorial debut, Anemone, which he co-wrote. The film explores the intricate relationships between fathers, sons, and brothers. Okay. I was afraid that he was going to only be a cameo in the film and he's not really coming back to acting, quote unquote. But from the looks of it, judging from this article here, let me see. Variety, what you got? What you got from you, Variety? Focus Features has it. Exploration of this family's family bonds. Will lead the cast of Anemone, his first acting gig since 2017's Phantom Thread, alongside Sean Bean, Samantha Morton, Samuel Bottomley, and Sophia Oakley Green. Okay. Ronan Day-Lewis is the director, the son. Okay. DDL is back, baby. I think, you know... This has been, what, the third time he's retired from acting? It was only a matter of time since he was coming back. Let's all be real. I mean, I can't say that I'm surprised. I'm more pumped than surprised, because he's one of the finest actors in the world, for my money. So more DDL, the better. The more DDL we have in this life, the better life is, in my opinion. So that happened. Daniel Day-Lewis, welcome back. Glad you had a good 7 days away. He was spotted on set, and he is driving what looks to be a Honda scooter, wearing a yellow bike, bike helmet, wearing glasses and having kind of a gray handlebar mustache. Kind of unrecognizable, honestly. But he was recognized enough. Man, what a badass. Yeah, man. Let's go, DDL. Returning to acting with a starring role in Ronan Daly's... Okay, yeah. This is all the same tweet. I mean, it's been everywhere. The news has been everywhere. What else? The Substance. People can't stop talking about The Substance. I mean, yeah. People can't stop talking about it. I got mixed feelings about that because at one point I'm very happy for people that have seen it and people who love it and the filmmakers and the movie itself. I'm glad it's doing so good. And honestly, if it gets shortlisted for makeup, it's going to win. It's going to get shortlisted, then it'll get nominated, and then it'll win. If it doesn't get nominated, it'll be a travesty. If it doesn't win, from what people are telling me and from what I've seen and what I've read about, it will be a travesty if it doesn't win. Because what competition does it have? There's nothing. There's really no competition against The Substance. But that being said, I've said it so many times already this season. This season is so young, and I feel like I'm going to be saying this time and time again just to let people know. I will not be seeing The Substance because I am very squeamish when it comes to body horror. And from what this film looks like and what people have been talking about, this film will make me faint 5 times over. I will die if I see this. I cannot stress that enough. I wish I could see it. I really wish I could see it, but like I can't do. Like one of my best friends went and saw it and she was like, "Oh, this is incredible. This is up my alley." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to watch it." And she was like, "You will definitely not be able to watch this." And she was like, "Oh, it doesn't get like too crazy until like the very end, but even like up until then it's a lot of medical gore." I'm like, "Nope, stop right there. Medical gore, can't do it. Can't do the medical gore, man. Can't do it. Can't do it. I'd rather watch someone get their head blown off in a movie than to see a needle go in somebody's arm. You know, I can't really do needles, organs, entrails, tissue, like that shit. I can't do it. I just can't do it. So this is a film that I won't be seeing. And I feel a little left out, man. I'm not gonna lie. I'm seeing like my Twitter feed for like a week straight was just like The Substance, 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 Substance. I'm like, okay, dude. Okay, we get it. I'm happy for y'all. I can't do it. The Substance, man. I even got lightheaded watching the trailer, bro. I can't do it. I can't do it. But shout out Demi Moore and Margot Qualley and Dennis Quaid and everybody involved in the film. Y'all made a good one. I'm happy for y'all. I did like look up, like I read an article. I should have bookmarked that article. Let me try to find it. I read an article about The Substance's makeup effects. How The Substance... here we go. That was a day ago. Here we go. I think this is it. How The Substance executes Demi Moore's body horror film that tears down beauty standards. Heavy spoilers. Yeah, this is the I'm not gonna spoil it. But let me just like skim through this article without really reading it and yeah, they're like talking about like apparently like the ending is like it goes kind of insane with the prosthetics. And I was reading up on it. It's It's an article on MarieClaire.com. So if y'all want to read it, go ahead. Or, you know, it'll spoil the movie for you, but like, if you're like me, who would rather be informed outside of the film than to actually experience it, then go check that out. But from what I've read in this article, that's a resounding no for me. But again, I really hope it gets an Oscar. That would be a very cool nomination and win if that does get in. I'm pretty sure it will. I'm going to be predicting it. So that's that with The Substance. What else has been going on, man? Joker's coming out on Friday in a couple days. Joker Folie à Deux. Jeez. All my French listeners, I apologize. Sorry. Let me say it this way. Joker Folie, full of ducks. So I've been hearing kind of mixed to negative reactions to Folie à Deux. It's kind of a miss from what people were saying. It tries to do a lot. It's kind of messy. It wants to be a courtroom drama. It wants to be a musical. The pacing is very kind of out of whack. The actors, you know, Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga, they give great performances, but they are kind of trapped in the shortcomings in the screenwriting and in the execution overall. That's from what I've heard. I still want to see it. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of Joker, the first one. It was good. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like head over heels for it. I respected it. It was really cool that it got the recognition it deserved. It was really cool that Joaquin got his first Oscar for that, even though I think Adam Driver should have won. But it was a good movie. So yeah, I'll see Folie à Deux. I am looking forward to seeing it anyway. But I think any shots for it to have any presence at the Oscars are kind of reduced to below the line categories, technical categories, maybe makeup, maybe costume design, perhaps cinematography. I hear it's shot very well. It's a beautiful looking movie, so maybe that has a shot. Acting prospects for Joaquin Phoenix and even Lady Gaga are kind of outside shots for right now. Maybe they'll show up in precursors, and maybe they'll miss at the end of the day at the Oscars. You know, I'm kind of like envisioning Lady Gaga to be nominated for actress, musical, or comedy, and then maybe get like a surprise nomination at Critics' Choice or SAG, and then she misses at the end of the day. Joaquin Phoenix, I'm just not sure if he's going to be able to piggyback off of his Oscar win. I think it's just going to go the other way, and he's just going to campaign for Lady Gaga, and he's not going to be really in the awards conversation for his performance, I guess. But I don't know. I think I will know better after seeing the film myself, but I'm just kind of saying what I've been hearing, and this is all speculation at this point, but that's my job. The Oscar guy here, he speculates for a living, so let's hear it for speculation, Mr. Speculation. But yeah, that comes out on Friday. I don't know if I'll be seeing it this weekend, but maybe soon. I'll be seeing it soon. I think this weekend I'll be watching. I really want to go and see some movies this weekend, Megalopolis being one. Wild Robot being another one, and I think maybe one other one I want to try to knock out. A Different Man is playing nearby, and I kind of want to check that out as well. But yeah, Megalopolis reactions are coming in, and man, this film is fascinating. It really is fascinating, the way it was conceived, the way it's been in production hell for decades. It's Francis Ford Coppola's like dream project that is finally coming to fruition. It's just a huge swing and a miss for most people. Talk about a movie doing too many things. This film, from what I hear, does all. It's just all the movie. All the movie is what they should have called it. It is taking big swings, big risks, crazy, weird Shakespearean dialogue with really cringy, like dialogue thrown in. Really very strange editing and cinematography choices, acting choices, just bonkers behavior, just weird. A film that doesn't really know what it wants to be. It's ambitious as hell, but it is not executed very well. These are all things I've been hearing, and it's making me just even more interested in watching it. A lot of the reviews I see from Megalopolis, like, they think it's just an unreviewable film. Like, it's neither good or bad. It's like, it's bad. It's a bad movie, but as far as, like, the craft and the execution of it is, like, incredibly commendable. Given, like, the effort that they put into finally making this film. I want to see it. I think it's very fascinating. There's apparently a scene in the film where a live actor comes out and actually asks Adam Driver on screen questions. I'm not sure how that's going to do in local theaters. Maybe, I think there's a version of the film that has a voiceover in the final cut. And then there's some, you know, showings and screenings that are happening at festivals and whatnot that do have a live actor come out. I don't know how that's going to do but play, but I don't know what's going on. So I'm going to try to see that on Friday. I'm going to try to go see Megalopolis on Friday. And Mike, I'm probably going to be doing a quickie review of it. And I'm just envisioning my quickie review just being like, so I saw Megalopolis, and it's just silence for the rest of the 59 seconds of the short. Like, it's just an unreviewable film from what I hear. But I'll do my best for y'all. I'll do my damnedest to get some kind of quickie review out there. So, it'll probably get goose-egged at the Oscars. In fact, it'll probably get nominated for Razzies. Maybe there'll be a surprise nomination. I don't know, but I think this is far away from the Academy. So that's why I haven't been really talking about it in my predictions and my, you know, podcasts and everything. But nevertheless, it might be just the movie of the year. That and The Substance are really the two movies that are really being talked about right now. So yeah, I'll be watching it. I'll be watching it. I can't wait to see it. Yeesh. Maybe that should be my review. I'm going to give Megalopolis a yeesh out of yeesh. So yeah. That's Megalopolis. A couple trailers came out. There might be a surprise Oscar contender, ladies and gentlemen. And no, I'm not talking about September 5th. That's a whole nother thing. We don't really know a whole lot about September 5th right now, but some speculators are saying that could be a surprise Oscar, like, sucker punch sneak attack of the year. Kind of similar to, like, Spotlight, Best Picture winner, All the President's Men. You know, it's one of those kind of, like... It's one of those movies, like newsroom drama movies, that I've heard is great, but we're going to have to see what the reactions are, you know, wide reactions of that film will be. But speaking of sneak Oscar contenders, Juror Number 2, the supposed final film from the great Clint Eastwood, who, by the way, is 94 years old and is still making movies, that is... talk about commendable. his supposed final film, Juror Number 2, the trailer dropped. It looks cool. It looks really good. Nicholas Hoult leads it. Toni Collette is in it. She plays a lawyer. She might do a bang-up job in the film, so I'm kind of keeping an eye on her for supporting actress possibilities. J.K. Simmons is also in it. You know, the Academy loves him. The trailer looks good. It's a courtroom drama, and the trailer looks good. But nowadays, that doesn't... What does that mean? I mean, the Baby Girl trailer... Not Baby Girl. Night Bitch. The Night Bitch trailer came out. Awful trailer. And then the film came out, and people saw it, and they were like, oh, never mind, the trailer was just bad. This could be the inverse. Maybe it's a great trailer, and then... Dude, remember The Happening? Remember that fucking movie? Remember that movie? That movie had a great trailer. I remember that trailer. Oh, man, that looks sick. New M. Night Shyamalan? Oh, hell yeah. Went to see it the day before my 18th birthday. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. So, trailers can do good and bad things, right? But from what I saw on the trailer of Juror Number 2, because I see some potential. I see some potential there. There's some potential. So looking forward for that. I don't know when it's coming out. When is it coming out? I think it comes out soon. Copy paste Juror Number 2, Mr. Google. November 1st. There are so many movies coming out on November 1st, let me tell you. That is going to be a crazy day. It is premiering at AFI Fest, which is later this month, on October 27th. And then it is being released widely not too long after, November 1st. So yeah, maybe that'll be good. Gonna keep my eye on that for now. It could be a Clint Eastwood, you know, the Mule, Cry Macho dud, or it could be American Sniper. You never know. Remember that? American Sniper came out in January and went gangbusters with the Academy, bro. Out of nowhere, Sneak Attack. This could be a Clint Eastwood Sneak Attack. So, got my eye on you, Juror Number 2. Out of all the jurors, the second one. I got my eye on you, buddy. Mr. Nicholas Hoult as Justin Kemp. Here's the premise from Wikipedia. Family man Justin Kemp, while serving as a juror in a high-profile murder trial, finds himself struggling with a serious moral dilemma. One he could use to sway the jury verdict and potentially convict or free the accused killer. Yes. Yeah, we'll see. Or it could be Richard Jewell. You know, the other Clint Eastwood film that only got nominated for supporting actress for Kathy Bates. Maybe Toni Collette can get in and that's it. But we'll see. Another trailer that came out was Baby Girl. The Nicole Kidman and Harris Dickinson vehicle distributed by A24. That is coming out Christmas this year. I've heard great things about it. I'm still a little skeptical that it is an erotic thriller. I know that the Academy doesn't typically go for erotic thrillers. It's just really not their bag. But in any case, I hear that this is kind of above the typical erotic thriller conventions, and it is definitely more of an artful film and very more carefully crafted. All driven by, from what I hear, is an incredible performance from Nicole Kidman, who won the Volpe Cup for Best Actress at the Venice Film Festival. Which has a pretty good correlation for Best Actress, which, I mean, it's not one-to-one by any means, but it's there for sure. So, you know, that could happen. Baby Girl could happen, maybe, I don't know what prospects outside of Best Actress would be, but, at the very least, Best Actress. There are some people that are saying that it might miss because it's kind of, you know, it's not really a film that the Academy could go after or not. I don't know. I mean, if she can get nominated for Being the Ricardos and, you know, Rabbit Hole, this is, from what I heard, this is one of her best performances of her career, especially since, you know, Rabbit Hole, I think that was, like, her last nomination that was, like, really incredible. I mean, she was good in Being the Ricardos, but that was Being the Ricardos. Yeah, Lion, she was nominated for. Yeah, if she's going to get nominated for Lion, like, she, I mean, why wouldn't she get nominated for Baby Girl? Yeah. So, I can't wait to see it. It looks pretty good. I mean, I was like, oh, okay. Like, at first I was like, okay, it's just an erotic thriller, whatever. But, I saw the trailer and it looks great. And, you know, I trust A24. I definitely trust A24. So, this Christmas, I love the tagline that this Christmas get exactly what you want. That's right. Harris Dickinson is also a great actor. I've only ever seen him in Triangle of Sadness, and I wasn't crazy about Triangle of Sadness, but I remember him being really great in that film. And of course, he was in The Iron Claw, and I didn't see that either. He's also in Blitz, which also had a trailer, and I think I talked about the trailer last episode. That trailer looks good. That movie looks good. I'm not completely sold on it like some other people are, but I just want to see reactions from it before I make my assessment of its prospects, if you will. So yeah, juror number two, Baby Girl trailers. What else? I think that might be mostly it. There's one other thing that I want to do before I wrap up this episode, and that is, here we go. So I live in Philadelphia. I've lived here for about, I would say, 4.5 years or so. So for the entirety of the Oscar Guy Here channel, I have lived in Philly, in the Philly region, so to speak. And, there is a film festival here called the Philadelphia Film Festival, which I went to last year. I wasn't a press, I didn't have a badge or anything. I just basically just looked at the schedule and said, I want to go to this movie, this movie, this movie. I'll pay the extra price. I don't care. I got to be there. So I went and saw The Holdovers. I saw Maestro. And I saw Saltburn, which was the closing film of the festival all last year. And I had a great time. And I figured, you know what? I'll go back, but, like, you know, I know I have kind of a small following. I don't have that many followers and subscribers, but, like, I got something. I got nice business cards. I got presents. I got a website. You know, I got all these things. Like, I'm checking all the boxes. I'm like, dude, I might not have a following, but I'm trying. You know, it could be something. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to apply for a press pass. And we'll see where it goes. I'm not expecting to get accepted. Spoiler alert. I wasn't, of course. Round of applause for that. I fully expected it. You know, you got to fake it till you make it. You know what I mean? So I applied. Of course, I didn't get in. But I'll be going anyway. And so what we're going to do now, they actually announced the lineup, the festival lineup and schedule today. And I haven't looked at it yet. So what we're going to do is we are going to look at it live, and I am going to figure out what the hell I'm going to be seeing at the Philly Film Festival. And your boy is going to be paying full price for these tickets, ladies and gentlemen. At least for right now, until they say, you know what, you got a good enough following. Let's get you in here, buddy. You know, one of these days it'll happen, but you know, I'll be making my rounds there and making my presence known, if you know what I mean. We are live here. We are looking at the lineup here. Here we go. Lineup announced for 33rd Philadelphia Film Festival. Here we go. October 17th through the 27th. So later this month. Here we go. Okay, so opening night film is September 5th. There you go. All right. There you go. Opening night film, September 5th. Closing night film, Blitz. Wow. Oh, man. I'm going to be spending a lot of money. I want to see both of those, films. Blitz, I will definitely see. And usually, like, after the closing night film, like last year with Saltburn, after the closing night film, there's also, like, a party that you can go to. And that was a lot of fun. Like an after party. Going to be doing that again if I can do it. So September 5th is the opening night film. Blitz, closing night film. I want to see both of those. Centerpieces, Anora, let's go. The Brutalist, let's go! I don't have to wait until December 20th. Let's go! Let's go, Philly Film Festival. Come on now. If there's going to be one film, I mean, Anora, I really want to see Anora as well. But if there'll be one film I see, it's going to be The Brutalist. Conclave, okay. Last Showgirl, that's the Gio Coppola vehicle with Pamela Anderson, okay. Nickel Boys, let's go. I've heard wonderful things about that one. It's like kind of this year's zone of interest in a way in regards to its directorial vision and presentation. Very avant-garde. Like it. The Order, okay. A Real Pain, let's go. Unstoppable. Wow. So those are the centerpieces. Anora, The Brutalist, Conclave, Last Showgirl, Nickel Boys, The Order, Real Pain, Unstoppable. Kill me. I want to see most of those. I don't know a whole lot about The Order or Unstoppable. And The Last Showgirl is like a kind of a maybe for me, but all those other ones, Anora, The Brutalist, Conclave, Nickel Boys, Real Pain, I really want to see those. And then there's a Masters of Cinema section. Bird. Okay. Oh, okay. So Bird was premiered at Cannes. So that was the Andrea Arnold vehicle. Hard Truths for Mike Leigh. Okay. Hear good things about that one too. I'm Still Here. There you go. The Brazil's submission. It's Not Me by Leo Carax. Let's go. Director of Holy Motors and Annette. That's his short film. Dude, can I just go? Can I just buy a press pass? Like, I don't even care anymore. The Room Next Door, of course. The Golden Lion winner. Rumors. Okay, don't know that one. See You to the Sacred Fig. Oh. Traveler's Needs, the new Hong Sang-soo. An unfinished film by Liu Ye. Okay. All right, that was Masters of Cinema. And then Spotlights, what we got? Daniela Forever, The End, the Joshua Oppenheimer film, okay. La Cocina, Memoir of a Snail, the animated feature prospect. The Second Act, Small Things Like These, I hear good things about. That's starring last year's Oscar winner, Cillian Murphy. Transplant, okay, Worldview. I'm guessing this is just like international films. Alpha, Armand, Baby, Black Dog, Bound in Heaven, The Count of Monte Cristo, okay. Dying, Flow, okay. Freedom Way, Girl with the Needle, The Kingdom, Legend of Vagabond, Queen of Lagos, My Favorite Cake, The Near That Never Came, I'm Becoming a Guinea Fowl, I've heard good things about. Peacock, The Quiet Ones, Scorched Earth, Vermiglio, We Were Dangerous, Who by Fire. There's a Focus on India section. Okay, cool. Well, All We Imagine is Light is there. Girls Will Be Girls, Santosh, Sister Midnight, Superboys of Malagyan. And, of course, the film Lapata Ladies is not here. Made in USA, Ben and Suzanne, Reunion Four Parts, The Black Sea, Desert Road, Ephes, isn't that the baseball movie that I read about? Yes. You hear that, Rob? New baseball movie, Ephes. Check it out. The knife, so torn, Vulcanizadora. Nonfiction, Apocalypse in the Tropics, Grand Theft Hamlet, Mistress Death Dispeller, Two Strangers Trying Not to Kill Each Other, Suburban Fury. Sight and soundtrack, Better Man. Okay. That is the Robbie Williams biopic / documentary where he plays a monkey. You heard me right. Devo, Diane Warren, Relentless, of course. Of course, it was a Diane Warren documentary. Luther, Never Too Much, Omar and Cedric, Pavements. Okay. Filmadelphia, and I think these are local Philadelphia films. After Hours, Bird Eater, Cloud, there it is. Dead Talent Society, Escape from the 21st Century, Night Call, Roll of Jenny Fan, From the Vaults. These are classic films. All the President's Men, A Matter of Life and Death, nice. 4K Restoration. Paris, Texas, Streets of Fire, Wake and Fright, Community Screenings. Don't recognize those. State of the Union, don't recognize those. Shorts. Wow. Okay. Can I just go? I didn't get a press pass, man. Can I just buy one? How much is a press pass, man? I want to see most of these. So I think the lineup was announced, but I don't think the schedule was announced yet. Is that correct? Let me look into that. Let me see. Philadelphia Film Festival. Lineup announced, festival tickets on sale for members goes on sale October 4th. Festival tickets on sale for public goes on sale October 7th. So that is going to be Monday. So Monday, I'm going to get to work and I am going to, get in there and I'm going to work something out. And I'm gonna see a lot of these films. I saw, well, in addition to The Holdovers, Maestro, and Saltburn last year, I also saw Jacques Tati's Playtime in theaters, which was amazing. So I managed to go out and see 4 films last year, with a pretty full schedule. So, you know, the definitelys, I'm thinking I definitely want to see Blitz, Anora, The Brutalist, Nickel Boys, and Real Pain. Like, those are like my absolutes. And then we have Conclave. I would like to see Conclave. I would like to see September 5th. I would like to see Hard Truths. I would like to see Room Next Door. I'm not going to be able to see all of these. Maybe it's best I just get a pass, though. But I don't know. I have a full-time job, man. I have a full-time job. I can't just take off. My PTA is gone. My PTO is gone for this year. Unless all these are going to be at night, which I hope they are. But we'll see. So that's what's up. That's what's up. That's crazy. That's a crazy lineup. That's a crazy lineup. Okay. Well, until then, I'm going to be watching movies by other means. I'm planning on seeing Megalopolis this weekend, and maybe The Wild Robot, and maybe A Different Man. That's what I'm planning on, but at least Megalopolis, for sure. So I think I'm going to leave it at that, folks. We covered a lot, I'm back in action. I guess next order of business for me, stay tuned for that Megalopolis quickie review, however that's going to go. And maybe even a Wild Robot quickie review. We'll see. But other than that, I'm going to start diving into my Oscar predictions, folks. I'm going to circle back, on my predictions, and I'm going to update them, and I am going to be doing my first series of Oscar predictions videos, like I said, starting probably next week. So stay tuned for that. It's exciting. This is exciting. Man, I'm stoked. I'm stoked for this film festival. Oof, hot damn. All right. Well, again, go check out my website, OscarGotHere.com. Go check out my Operation Watchlist videos and circle back on some content while waiting for some of this new stuff. So stick around. Stick around. I appreciate you all for listening to me ramble and whatnot. More where that came from. So yeah, thanks again for listening, everyone. Until then, until next time, Oscar Guy is...